Welcome to this week's podcast, Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie. Here on Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito. Our goal is to be informative and entertaining. On today's episode, we have a great interview with a mother-daughter team, Carrie and Haley. Both ladies share the same genetic mutation, and yet each present completely different. Hi, ladies. Welcome to our podcast.
Carrie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk about you and kind of give us a rundown on Haley, and then you guys can go from there.
Okay, my name is Carrie and I'm 47. I live here in California, and Haley is my 19, almost 20 year old daughter who has mitochondrial disease. And we live a very busy life with trying to manage her. And I'm her full-time caretaker, as well as my husband is. I stay home with her. And we just recently moved into a house so she could have her own little apartment downstairs. We're working on getting her. Well, we're not working on. She is in the process of getting a service dog. So lots of exciting things happening at our house this year.
Wow. Haley, I have to say, I have a son who has mitochondrial disease. He just turned 21, kind of exactly like you guys. I am his caregiver. We didn't buy a house with an apartment in it. I moved out of our family home that we've been in for almost 30 years. And so he has that house because it's designed for him, so to speak. We did a lot of remodeling for him when he was younger. And he has a full-time caregiver who lives there as well. So we've tried having a service dog. It didn't go well with us because we just love dogs and we just let the dog be a dog. And it just, that's like a whole Disney show. Life with Henry was crazy. So, I'm excited to learn more about you guys. This is going to be great. Haley, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what type of mitochondrial disease and all the other good stuff.
Okay. Hi, my name is Haley. I'm almost 20. I was diagnosed with MITO when I was 5. The type of mitochondrial disease I do have, me and my mom have been the only ones tested to have it in the world. So basically, I have a gene mutation that has only been discovered in us.
The mutation is only in the two of you?
Well, one of the mutations. We do have other ones that are common with other people, but two of the gene mutations that we have are between
Do you know, is there a specific name for it, or do you just go by the ABC generic mutation? Or,
well, Dr. Bowles, who is my geneticist, allowed us to name it since we're the only ones so far that have it. So
I don't even know. It has this really long numerical alphanumeric code to it, and he said, well, we could name it, so that's what we named it.
I love that.
Yeah, so.
And then she has several others. She'll explain what they are. She has
mutations?
MITO.
So I also have the RYR2. I have MRPL3, which we just call MRPL because it's fun to say. And then I have something called the chat gene. And I just lost my place where I was reading. And I think I'm forgetting one more. Let's see. I have one from my dad, but it doesn't cause any issues. So that's not mitochondrial disease.
No.
It's just a random mutation.
And then they found two variants on the chat gene, I think it is, this year, because she was just diagnosed with pancreatic insufficiency on top of everything else this year.
Yeah, I don't remember which
last
gene
year,
it was.
In 2020. And he found that two of the ones cause chronic pancreatitis and pancreatic insufficiency. So
had pancreatitis?
Yes. So my first bout of pancreatitis that I know about was back in 2016. But that was really the only one incident I knew for sure I had it up until 2020. And then, however, all throughout 2019, I was dealing with what I'm pretty sure was pancreatic pain, because I would eat and I would be in so much pain.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until March of 2020 when I was diagnosed that I was like, maybe I did have small bouts of pancreatitis here and there. And then I had another bout of pancreatitis in April of 2020. So,
yikes.
Yeah.
Ooh, have you had to be hospitalized with those?
Yeah, I was, when I had pancreatitis last April, I also had sepsis. So it was just like a combination.
Yeah.
Cause she, go big or go home, right?
Yeah. Because she was in the hospital all of March trying to figure out what was wrong with her because she couldn't keep any food in her. And then she was sent home, and at that time she had a port. And so she was sent home on TPN and a port, and it kept popping out. And later the needle kept popping out. And later we found out she had fluid buildup behind it. It was causing all this pressure. And then that, because of the needle popping out and her pushing it back in, was just enough to get bacteria under there and cause sepsis. So then she was back in the hospital for 3 weeks in April, emergency surgery. And yeah, it was a hot mess.
Wow. Do you have a port now, or did you just take it out and leave it out?
I had it removed and then had a PICC line while trying to heal from sepsis. And then I got a Bro-Vx central line placed.
So that's what I have now. Okay. Wow. So what was going on that made you say, we need to get her genetically tested for something?
Oh, well, from the time she was born, I would say even before that, in utero, and you know, this is back in 2001, they told me she had a heart condition because my first daughter was born with a heart condition. And when she was born, that seemed to take care of itself. But then she had central sleep apnea. She had all of these things that were like minor, you know, like she didn't quite meet up all those milestones. Like she would just be a little late to the game, a little late crawling, a little late walking, you know, and they thought she had like mild cerebral palsy when she was a baby. And we went through all these tests and stuff. And then she started having these episodes of vomiting that would be like every 3 months. And then she'd be hospitalized for it. And they would say, oh, well, she has, you know, just the stomach flu. And I'm like, well, she gets the stomach flu more than any kid I know. Like I had an older daughter. So I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. And I kept asking the neurologist and the doctor, this all seems related. And they would say, no, you're just a crazy parent. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. This isn't related. These are separate things. And as she got older, closer to 5, the episodes started getting like very regular, like every 2 to 3 months we were in the hospital with vomiting. And like, and it wasn't like she would vomit and get dehydrated. The very first time she would vomit, she would go into what they call an awake coma, be totally lethargic, and you'd have to carry her into the ER. Like she would be just, she would look dead. She'd have the pallor, the pale lips, like the whole nine yards, which is very typical for cyclic vomiting. Now I know. So when she was like 4, she was diagnosed with cyclic vomiting, but they never mentioned mito. I'd never even heard that word before.
Sure.
And then we went to a support group for cyclic vomiting, and we saw Dr. Bowles speak. And I was like, well, I've got to get my kids that doctor, because it sounds like that's what she might have. And sure enough, we went to him when she was 5, and that's when she was diagnosed. And he said at that point, the only way to definitively diagnose it was a muscle biopsy. And he said, well, I could do that, or I could treat her like she has it. It wouldn't change anything. And I said, well, let's just treat her like she has it and kind of go from there. And so from the age of 5 to 11, she had no episodes. She seemed like a normal kid. She ran and played with her friends. She was going, you know, I homeschooled her, but she was able to go to our homeschool co-ops, participate in everything, you know, just play, yeah. Even play soccer. Everything, just a little slower than other kids, you know, right. Just a little bit more tired. She wasn't able to quite keep up, but she would do her best. And, you know, so we kind of felt like, oh, well, she kind of grew out of it because I didn't know any better. And then when she was 11 and puberty started hitting, everything started spiraling downwards. She started getting back her cyclic vomiting episodes, back hospitalized.
All the symptoms of mito were like, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
We're like exploding.
Yeah.
All of the symptoms of mito. So then in 2016, she had a very rare coalescence episode of cyclic vomiting, and she,
which basically means a prolonged episode.
A prolonged episode, and basically was shutting down her whole system, and she almost died. It lasted for like 6 months.
Oh.
So to go back to your original question of genetic testing, it's in 2013, we finally got her genetic tested, and that's when he was like, yeah, these are her gene mutations. And then when all of this happened in 2016, we were like, well, now, you know, because with genetic testing, every 6 months is like a whole new generation of genetics.
Exactly.
And so in 2016, we were like, hey, something else has got to be going on with this kid because she's getting sicker and sicker, and what we're doing isn't working. And so we redid her genetic test in 2018, because of just where Dr. Bowles was working and getting to the right thing, and did a whole genome sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we discovered all of these other gene variants and mutations. And he said, well, that makes sense. Now we know, you know, the chat gene causes this, and the, you know, whatever causes this. And so that's our story about basically why we got her genetically tested.
Wow. Wow. So how, like you and I, we're both mito moms.
Yes.
Like, we know there's no true treatment, but what are you doing to keep Haley looking so great and moving forward? I mean, you look fabulous. Don't you love it when people say that?
Yeah. This is a really good day.
Yeah.
She is really good about being an advocate for herself and knowing what she needs to take and how to take care of herself. And so she's very up on taking all of her supplements. She's on TPN, which has just been a game changer this year, because she was getting to a point at the end of 2019 where she wasn't able to do much. Like, just sitting up for 20 minutes would just knock her out. She would just be wiped out. And so we found out, through going through the diagnosis of pancreatic insufficiency, is that she was severely malnourished. So for, we don't know how long exactly, they said it could be upwards of a year or two, that she wasn't absorbing her food.
Oh no.
She had lost 20 pounds in 6 months, not trying. She wasn't trying to get healthy. I mean, she was overall eating well, but I mean, just not trying to like lose weight. And so that has been a game changer to make her feel more energetic, be able to do things. So
also, I know a lot of mito patients feel the benefits of doing dextrose infusions. So whether that's D5 or D10, game changers. So when I'm pretty good at knowing when I need it, like if I'm having a really rough day where I'm just like exhausted, can't do anything, I'm like sleeping all day, then that's kind of when I'll connect to fluids. And I do, I'm trying to think.
What do you do?
I lost my train of thought.
You do D5 3/4 normal saline.
Yeah.
For a 24-hour infusion on top of the TPN when she needs it for an extra boost. But we kind of do whatever we can to make her feel the best that she can feel.
Wow.
And be the most independent that she can be. And as she has, as you know, with being a mito mom, you still have to be their advocate. You still have to be the one that sits there and holds their hand through everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're still trying to learn how to navigate this world, you know?
Oh, definitely.
And so, I always try to encourage her to be her own advocate, but also, you know, do things like eating an organic diet of the things that she can eat, you know, getting out, getting fresh air, you know, at least once a day, like go sit out in the sun, you know, things like that. So, and just having a positive attitude, I think really helps too, because if you are just sitting there, you know, because this disease, as you know, can be all consuming and overwhelming.
Yes.
And a lot of times we all get in our heads with, you know, this insurmountable Mount Everest that's in front of us of this disease. And if you live in that, then you're gonna not be feeling good.
Right.
Emotionally, which leads to physically not feeling well. And I think Haley always has such a positive outlook on life. And she really tries really hard to inspire and help other people as well. So I think all of that combined helps her function, and she, you know, has her really good days, and then she has her really bad days as well. So, you know.
Yeah. Yes, I do know.
Obviously, I think everybody listening in who has mito or any chronic illness in general knows you can try everything day after day, and there's just some phases of time where it's not enough, and you have to, it's hard to accept that reality, but it is the true reality of sometimes taking my supplements and doing all these infusions and resting and having a positive outlook and going outside for a little bit, like all of that combined sometimes isn't enough. And I think it's really hard to come to the place where I realize that I can accept that. But I think it's an important thing to accept that you can, that basically you did, I did all I could, and that's how I'm just going to see it as and go forward from that.
I like that. So you went, I'm just going to backtrack here a little bit. First of all, do you just have like a standing order for the dextrose, or how does that work? Like, how do you just decide how to plug in? I love that you just said that too. I just plug in. I'm like,
We have a standing order through our nursing company. We have a very good relationship with her doctor. She still is a pediatrician, and we know that over the next 2 years, we're going to have to find a new doctor, which is scary because there's no adult doctors that know anything about mito. And so that it's a very scary place to be in the next couple of years. But we do have a really good relationship with her doctor, and she has these standing orders at our nursing company. And so whenever she's feeling like, hey, I need some extra help, we can just call up the nursing company. If they don't have it as a standing order, they'll call her doctor, and her doctor normally will be like, sure, because Haley is really good at saying what she needs.
Right.
You know, because it's her body. And she'll even ask sometimes, she'll go, do you think I need to do an infusion? I'm like, I don't know. It's your body. You need to tell me if you think you need it. So.
Wow. That is great. I love that you have that relationship with your medical team. We just went through transition from, Ted was always at the children's, Minnesota Children's Hospital, and we just had to go down to start at the Mayo in Rochester, which is 2 hours away. But either way, like you said, it's absolutely terrifying. And of course, they want to start all over. And he's also a research patient at the NIH, and they were naming off a whole bunch of stuff. And I was just like rifling through the folder going, here's the results for that. We're not doing it again. Here's the results for that. We're not doing it again.
Right.
We don't need to start over. We're fairly confident we know where we're at.
Yep. Just keep on keeping on. Don't rock the boat.
Exactly. That's how I feel. Ted doesn't do an infusion of dextrose. He does a weekly infusion of levocarnitine. And then every week. And then he just perks right back up on Mondays as infusion day. And we watch him just kind of go, you know, down the hill. And then Mondays, I always say it's like watering a plant, you know, just give him a little and whoop, up he comes. Yep. So
that's so interesting, because I've been on L-carnitine since I was 5.
Yeah. It's in her TPN now. So, so she gets, because from 2016 up until 2020, she was just on a weekly infusion of NAC and albumin, and then she would get her hydration when she needed it. But now she's on a nightly infusion of TPN. 3 times a week she gets lipids, and then she still gets albumin and NAC and hydration when she needs it.
Wow. So does your form of mitochondrial disease have a name, or are you just your name?
Just my name, basically. So, I know, you know, there's so many different types of mitochondrial diseases. Like, it's crazy how many there actually are. But somehow I don't fall under any of them. So I know with some mitochondrial diseases, you can at least kind of guesstimate what might be affected next, like what part of your body.
Yeah.
Whereas with me, it's very, very unknown. So it's like, I could live until I'm 100, or I could not. And it's just a very interesting
But yeah, I think genetics are very interesting because I know that as I'm getting older, because I also have mito, it's affecting me as I'm getting older.
Okay.
And so it's just interesting to see how the RYR2 affects us differently, even though we have the same gene mutation. So that's all very interesting.
That is not, so you both have, and you didn't know you had it until Haley was tested?
I did not, but throughout my life of going back and looking at things, I could say, oh, that's why, mm-hmm. you know, like I've always had problems with my bladder since I was a very young child. And, you know, they, oh, you just have a weak bladder. Well, come to find out, no, that's actually mito related.
Wow.
And then, you know, things like I was just always, you know, even though I was very active as like a teenager and stuff, I could never keep up with my peers. Like I would go to school and come home and have to take a 2-hour nap before I'd go to work, you know, and nobody else that I knew of had to do that as a teenager.
Right.
So it's just all these little things are like recovering from childbirth would take me upwards of like a year, year and a half to recover from childbirth where, you know, friends were like bouncing back after 6 weeks. Oh, I'm going back to work. And I'm like, what? I'm dying over here. So, yeah. And now that I've gotten older, you know, it's like I have torn both my Achilles tendons. I just ripped the muscle out of my left shoulder. And they're like, what did you do? I'm like, got up out of bed. Like I literally haven't done anything. And that's the RYR2 variant. Is it, you know, tends to, well, which I just found out.
Other variants and mutations too.
Well, yeah, but especially the RYR2, because that's what her doctor was telling me, because I was asking her, because she's very knowledgeable about mito. And she's like, oh yeah, that's your RYR2. It affects your muscles and your tendons. And I'm like, great. Awesome.
Wow. So it's not considered Ehlers-Danlos, because I know there's a lot of patients who have that. Okay.
Yeah, no,
oh, that's very interesting.
Yes. See, genetics is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Now that it's, well, I'm way older than you, but back in my day, we would do these little squares, you know, AA, AB, you know, and it would just seem like you had four choices that would manipulate into 16 variations and that was it. We couldn't have been further wrong on genetics back then. I mean, literally could not have been any further. So it's fun to figure it out and learn it. And as a mom in this arena, I'm sure you do this as well. You look at other kids and you go, you're missing something there. One of your ATAGs is out of order because this isn't how it's supposed to be.
Pretty much.
I get that. So let's talk about the fun things. What's this dog? What kind of dog? How is this process? Who are you getting it through? What can I do?
Well, first we should tell you about our first dog that was supposed to be our service dog.
But we went about it in the wrong way. We didn't have a trainer. We didn't have him evaluated. We thought.
Yeah, he was from a rescue and he's awesome, but he's terrible. And he's not a rescue dog at all. He's an awesome
service dog.
A service dog. I mean, his rescue, but he's not a service dog at all. He's we've come to conclude that he's part American Dingo. So he has like a wild streak in him and he's just, he's beautiful and he's amazing and we love him to death and he'll always be part of our family, but no, he will not be a service dog at all.
Yeah. Sounds like our Henry.
So I guess I'll say first, the reason why we're not going through a program is just because the wait time is so, so long and
the cost is astronomical as well.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, we had several things fall through from different programs. And so we felt going the owner training route, which is when like you train alongside with a trainer, would work better. So we actually by chance found our current dog trainer who he's awesome. He's helped train service dogs, police dogs, military dogs for like over 20 years. Oh my gosh, I keep losing my train of thought.
That's
I'm
okay.
sorry.
So he, so we've been working with him predominantly for the last year since we've had Indy. And then he knew that we wanted to get a service dog. And so our thing was that Haley had to save part of the money, at least for the down payment, because it's still like a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did. And he contacted her about a month and a half ago and said, hey, I have this litter that's, you know, they're going to be due here in January. Are you interested? And of course we said yes. And yeah. So her baby was born on the 13th.
Yes. And so the litter was 6 girls and 2 boys, and I'm going to be taking a girl from the litter.
And it's a German Shepherd.
It's a German Shepherd.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So, and for me, choosing a German Shepherd was because a few different things. One, they're big and strong enough for mobility tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I feel like with a German Shepherd, I'm less likely to be approached in public by sketchy people. And,
absolutely.
You know, there will be times, I mean, besides COVID, like pre-COVID, I would like go into a store on my own or at like a shopping center just to like feel a little more independent. So I'm going to have that benefit as well. And I'm just really, really excited. And she should be coming home sometime in March.
Right before her birthday.
Yes.
So are her eyes open yet?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She's,
I believe, 2 weeks old today.
Have you ever had a German Shepherd puppy before?
No.
My dad used to raise them. And I will tell you, when they start learning to stand their ears up, just have your camera ready because it is hysterical. They'll get one up and then the next day it'll flop and then the other ear will go up. And then it's not like automatic. And through the day they flop down and they just look ridiculous. It's so funny.
We're pretty excited.
Between their ears and their paws, you just can't go wrong.
Yes.
Plus, they're very vocal. They'll talk and talk your ear off.
Oh, that's
fun.
Yes, that's what our Indy does also right now. He talks like if he's upset at you, he'll just roar, roar, roar. He'll tell you.
So what are you going to name her? Do you know?
Yes, I'm going to name her Willow.
Love that. Yeah. And what colors is she? Is she a brown? Is she a sable?
She's...
We don't know yet because he showed us pictures of the litter.
Okay.
He waits until they're about 5 weeks old before he'll pick the one that is Haley's. So as soon as we know, but they're more of a darker color, the mom and dad.
Okay.
But they're all very adorable. We've been getting puppy pictures and they're just so cute.
They are. Oh my God. Growing up with that is one of my most fond memories of just playing around with them and just seeing how smart they are. And my dad's Sam, she was so vocal. Oh my goodness. Vocal. It's probably a good thing she couldn't have a podcast because she'd be yapping all day long about stuff.
Wow. Now we're very excited and it'll also help because Haley suffers as I do, but Haley more significantly with severe anxiety. And so we know that that's going to really significantly help her with that as well.
Yes, I definitely have heard of that it's just so calming. And if they know that you're feeling anxious and can come through and be by you and help, you know, kind of bring you back in, that's so helpful. Wow.
Yeah.
So now in your new apartment, do you have like a space for her already? Or are you guys kind of thinking about like how this is going to work? Like, is she going to be in a crate or?
Yeah, she's going to be in a crate. And hopefully once she gets older, she'll be able to sleep outside her crate. But for her first little bit of part of life, she'll be in her crate. And it's going to be, I have a little sitting room, a bathroom, and then my bedroom. So the crate will be in my sitting room.
Oh, okay. And so you're going to be 100% responsible, like feeding her and getting her in and out and all of that. Okay.
Yeah, except for we figure we're going to have to help her on the days when she has bad days or like, you know, getting up when the puppy first needs to go out and go potty, like in the middle of the night and stuff. Haley won't be able to do those, but she's going to predominantly, it'll be her dog. She'll be doing all the training and everything.
How do you think Willow and Indy are going to get along?
I've always said he's either going to be a total jerk to her or he's going to be a mother hen. There will be no in between.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's a spoiled, he's my spoiled baby.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh, I can't wait to see pictures and have you guys keep us up to date on that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So what else do you have planned for the future with other than just getting Willow, which sounds like enough for me, but you young kids have all kinds of ideas.
Right. Well, she's going to start a college class in a couple of weeks online, and because she's trying to promote her YouTube channel. So,
well, let's hear about the YouTube channel.
So I've had my YouTube channel for a couple of years. It's called The Mito Warrior. And I just share all about life with a chronic illness and life with Mito. And I mean, I vlogged and made videos all last year about all the health things I went through, and also 2016, because I started my YouTube channel in 2016. So
yeah,
it's 5 years worth of
and then
footage.
Like before COVID, we love to travel. We still love to travel. We just can't travel.
Right.
Like we went to Europe for a month. So it's all of our adventures in Europe with a kid with a chronic illness and their,
I'm going to have to look that up.
The language barrier of
accessibility
in some countries is like, nope, that's not what accessibility means. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's on there. And then also about Indy, my dog. So if you want to go over there and see what he looks like, I think in my latest video called Let's Catch Up or something, there's a really funny video of him in there.
Yeah, he's a nut. And you get to see her whole little apartment and everything. So it's, but it definitely has helped a lot of people as well, because both of us tried to, help, especially new Mito moms that are terrified. They just got a diagnosis or something. I know that I always try to reach out to them and let them know that there is hope, regardless of what the diagnosis says, that there's still hope. And that's still a child, just because they have this label.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, they're a child and they're your child.
Right.
And so to help them, and then Haley's YouTube channel has helped so many kids, especially her age, that struggle with Mito, to know that they, you know, you can just live your life. It looks differently from other people's lives, but it's still just living your life the way that God's given you.
Right. Oh, I just love that. I didn't know about your YouTube channel. I'm super excited. I'm going to be checking that out. Like as soon as we hang up, I think.
Good.
That is great. So you actually went to Europe for a month. How did that go? Like what? Like I'm baffled at that right now.
Yeah. Okay. So this was before I was TP independent, so it was a much different situation. However, I was still doing weekly infusions, but at that time I had a port. So I was actually able to bring all my IV supplies, medical supplies, and IV bags of the infusions I did in carry-on suitcases.
Which they don't count as part of your luggage if you have medical supplies.
Oh.
Or medications.
Or medications. You can bring as many suitcases of it as you want, and they don't count it as part of your luggage. You know, they give you that specific luggage thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, and so I'm in a wheelchair when I'm out of the house because I can't walk long distances without getting exhausted. And so my wheelchair is motorized, and I just, you're actually able to fly with a motorized wheelchair. You just basically go up to the plane, and they'll take your wheelchair and put it in the hold.
Yeah.
And
but we traveled everywhere. We went from London, Brussels, Amsterdam, Italy, Switzerland.
Paris.
Yeah. So I think the one that was the hardest was Italy. That was our least favorite. That's the most
inaccessible
country. And we wound up getting robbed in Rome on the last day. So that wasn't very fun.
Oh, that's not fun.
No, but thankfully they didn't take any of her medications. So that was good. But most places like London's very accessible. Mm-hmm. All their taxis are wheelchair accessible. Every single one for motorized wheelchairs. I mean, all those little tiny black taxis have a ramp that comes out. Their seats flip up and you're able to drive right up in there. I would not have believed it.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. It's a law in the UK that every taxi has to be wheelchair accessible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So places like the Netherlands and London and Paris are the most accessible places anywhere in Europe.
I would say, like, we went in with the mentality of, like, okay, we know all of these cities we're going to, all of these places we're going to are very old. So, you know, from what we researched, because we did research the most accessible cities, so I wouldn't just, like, be stuck staying at, like, wherever we were staying. But, like, going into it, we kind of knew that, like, I wouldn't be able to get access into every single building. But I was shocked at how accessible everything actually was and how much I was able to see and do while being in a wheelchair. And that just, like,
yeah, because gave most, me the biggest most European cities have a McDonald's on every single corner, and every McDonald's is wheelchair accessible. So if you need to go to the bathroom or get food or whatever, there's always a McDonald's. Always. You can be in the middle of nowhere and there'll be a McDonald's and an IKEA. So but
yeah, it was actually a lot smoother and easier traveling with a chronic illness than we thought it would be.
Because I thought Switzerland was going to be rough, and it wasn't. Switzerland was very accessible and very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But we always go in with the mindset of parent as her parents. We want to show her as much of the world as
while we can,
as fast as we can, so that she can still participate. And
that's
so
excellent.
We've gone everywhere.
Yeah.
We've gone to Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C., Florida, all up and down California coast, Europe, Mexico, cruises.
Yeah. And ooh, we're really grateful that we were able to
have had
those experiences and had the ability to go there. So,
and now, you know, travel is going to look different, but we're still going to go.
Yeah.
We probably won't fly, but, you know, we'll drive. There's lots of driving places. And
So were they careful with your chair on all these flights? Did anything happen? Were you worried?
We were a little bit worried, but what my dad would do,
he bubble wraps the control.
Uh-huh.
Like, and he disables it so that they have to carry it. We would see four people, like, lift it up. And, you know, so we took every precaution possible. They did bend the controls a little bit, but for the most part, plus we take nonstop flights.
Oh.
So there's less chance of that.
Right.
And
that's good. That's a good tip.
Good tip. Yeah. Cause we have good friends who, she has CP and she's in a wheelchair full time, and they have just destroyed chairs of hers. And so they were the ones that actually gave us that tip of making sure you have a flight that's nonstop, and that way there's less of a chance, and go with airlines that have really good ratings of, you know, cause you can go on different sites and see, oh, did they destroy this chair or whatever. And, for the most part, you know, mm-hmm. we've had really good success. And plus, only certain airlines will fit her chair because of the height and stuff.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, they let you bring your carry-ons full of whatever medications or medical supplies you have with you, which is very, very nice. So you don't have to worry about that. Those getting lost.
You should never, ever check any of your medical supplies ever.
And also, there's no limit on how big, like, if you take liquid medication, there's no limit on how big it can be.
Oh, really? Do you have to have a special note or a card or something to get through security?
Yes. You always need a note from the doctor, especially if you're traveling internationally, mm-hmm. To say what you need these medications for. We have never been asked for it, but we always carry it with us. I would say London was the easiest to get through customs, because we were like, oh, this is going to be, you know, forever. And we literally went through customs. They're like, do you have any cocaine? We're like, no. They're like, okay, you can go in. They didn't check anything. They didn't open any suitcase. Like,
okay.
Maybe they just really trusted LAX or something.
I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
I
guess we know, right?
Yeah. Traveling with a chronic illness can be done, and we always encourage people, like, don't, I know that everybody is afraid to travel because of illnesses, or even before COVID, like, we might get sick or whatever, but you can't live in that fear. If you want to do something, don't let that stop you, because it might be mm-hmm. the only opportunity you ever get to see that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say we always clear it with my doctors first. And like one of my doctors was like, okay, what country specifically are you going to? Because basically he just doesn't want me to go somewhere where the health system isn't 100% going to be supportive to me if something were to ever happen.
And both of her doctors have international connections in the countries we were going to. So if there was something that would happen, they could tell us, you know, go to this hospital and speak to this person kind of thing, because they've dealt with other mito patients in the past. So we do a lot of research and planning ahead of, you know, like we're
our backup plans.
Yeah, we're planning on going to driving to Yellowstone this summer.
Oh, and fun.
We already have a place where we can get her TPN, because her TPN is only good for 8 days. And so we already have a plan in place with her doctors that they've worked with this place before, that'll be within a 200-mile radius of where we'll be. So there is a lot of planning that has to take place to travel. You can't just like jump in the car and go, you know, I'm going to go to Vegas for the weekend. Yeah. It doesn't work like that with us, but it doesn't mean that it can't be done.
Mm-hmm. So in Yellowstone, was it going to come in by carrier bear or?
No, there's actually a place in Montana that we're going to drive to, a city that's a pharmacy, like what we get her infusions through, that we'll pick it up there. So yeah.
Wow. That's
carrier bear. Yogi Bear is going to bring in his picnic basket.
Him and Boo Boo are going to just come along with the ranger. I love it. Wow. What a fun adventure that's going to be. Now, will you be bringing Willow and Indy, or will they have to be here?
So Indy, definitely not, just because of wildlife and all of that.
We're pretty sure with Willow, we're actually going to leave her with a trainer for the time we're gone, only because in Yellowstone, they highly suggest not bringing service animals, because a lot of service animals have died because of the wildlife, or because they accidentally step on a lava flow and then they go and they're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And so we don't want to take that chance. We rather, you know, because he already said that he would have her live in his house while we were gone and basically train her the entire time. So we might take that opportunity to just, you know, even though it'd be hard to leave them, to just, you know, they're on a vacation and we're on.
You know, just think of it as doggy spa time, you know?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Oh, that just sounds wonderful. I've been all over the U.S. I've never been to Yellowstone though. That is on my list to get there. It just, my daughters have been there and their pictures are amazing. So I can't wait to go.
Yeah, we're pretty excited.
I'm very looking forward to getting a break from everything. Everything.
Yeah.
I know. COVID exhaustion has hit everyone, hasn't it?
Yes.
Now, have you been vaccinated? Have you guys been talking about that?
We actually had COVID in October.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
Actually, I got it the worst. Haley had a very mild case, and her doctor thinks it's because of all the supplements and infusions she's on, because one of the infusions is what they use for COVID patients in the hospital. Wow. But she basically had a sore throat and fatigue for 4 days. I felt like death, and I was the only one that lost their sense of taste and smell, and I lost that for 3.5 weeks. So, and that was at the end. Like, most people get that at the beginning. I got that at the end when I was feeling better. I was like, why isn't this peppermint oil smelling? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And it was a very weird experience, but
it started with my dad. He decided to bless us with it from someone at work.
Yeah. Somebody at work had it and gave it to my husband, and then he's a good sharer. Oh. And he shared with all of us.
Wow.
So, because by the time he started showing symptoms,
it was too late.
It was too late, because we had all like been in a car together, and you know, so it's like, well, we tried to keep Haley isolated because we have a HEPA filter in our house and everything, but it was already too late. So, that's where we're at with that. We had it in October, and we're just kind of trying to be as cautious as we can still and still healthy.
Yeah, because California is in kind of a rough spot. Are you guys moving through that now? Seemed like every time on the news I would see it, and I was like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really been looking at the numbers lately. It's just a lot.
It's nothing but doom and gloom. So we're like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we could just take care of ourselves and
follow the rules.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you guys made it through that. And I hope you're going to put on your YouTube channel your adventure to Yellowstone.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely planning on it. Definitely.
I'm looking forward to doing
that. And she's definitely putting on her YouTube channel when she gets her puppy. And
oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of adventures with Willow.
Yes. Yes.
Here's what Willow chewed today.
That's right. Look, she peed here. Yay.
On my brand new carpet. Oh, wow. Great. It's going to be fun. Well, you guys, it was so fun to meet you. And I look forward to checking in with you guys. And definitely, you're going to see your numbers go up, I'm sure, on YouTube and your channel, because I'm going to just promote the heck out of it. I love this. And having a son close to your age, and you guys sound so similar, it's given me a little bit of the shivers here. Like, wow, there's so many things that you guys... Yeah, it's crazy. So I won't tell them about the dog, though, because like I said, we've already been down that road, and it was a long road. So
yeah.
we won't be doing that again. Loved Henry, but it was a long 16 years.
Yeah.
So, all right, ladies. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I look forward to checking in with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Haley and Carrie. These ladies were inspiring and really got me to thinking that with the right preparation, anything is possible. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. This helps boost us up the charts. This show was brought to you by Zogenics and Ultragenics. Be sure to tune in next week for All Things Mito. This is your host, Stephanie, Rare Mom Extraordinaire.